Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that keeps the intelligence agents entertained while they go about their daily business of surveilling the shit out of everybody. Now, my very special guests are coming at me from Blackpool. Oh, no, Blackball, in fact, which is precisely what the media's been doing to them. So that's why when my good friend Michelle Rhodes messaged me saying, hey, you should interview these guys, they're doing a big hickory against poisons and stuff like that. And I go, really? A bunch of guys leading a march against the ruthless contamination of our entire fucking ecosystem? Well, I guess that's worth a look. Guys, welcome to the program. We've got Alan Gurdon over here. Say hello, Alan.
How's it going?
Yep. I'm somewhat fabulous. Thank you for asking. And who have you got there with you?
Emil Leash. Yes, He's a partner in crime for this mission.
Fantastic. Everybody needs one, an accomplice. Now, if you wouldn't mind just telling us, just relax, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Okay. I'm a nearly 53-year-old born and bred West Coaster. For the last 30 years, we've been all tortured and poisoned by the government's use of 1080, which is used as a pest control, apparently. They now spread it on our land in such huge quantities and into our water supplies, so it's creating mass sickness, premature death from heart attacks and all that sort of thing. We're absolutely over banging our heads against a brick wall for the last 30 years. This country is riddled with terrorists and corrupt politicians, corrupt Ministry of Health. They keep hiding all their medical records and things like that. Anything they can do to cover us up, they're trying it. So we've had a gutsful and we're off on a march. I'll hand you to Emil and he can introduce himself a bit.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Ko Emil toko ingoa. Ko Ngāpui nui tōnu toko iwi. Ko te hiku tūte hapū no Tai Tokarau. My tribe is Ngāpui. It's in the Hokianga in Northland, and our family grouping or hapū is Te Hikutu. I'm coming from the angle that in 1975, one of my whanaunga, a well-known lady, Fina Cooper, performed a land march from the north to Parliament to reassert our kaitiakitanga over those lands, quite different from ownership, guardianship, which means not a right to own that land, but a right to be looking after and being responsible for the outcomes of the land and what happens to it. Just make that clear.
For those of you who don't understand what the concept is, it's the modern political equivalent of establishing a protectorate, where the only job of the people there is to protect what's going on.
Kia ora. So she marched at that time to have our rights as kaitiakitanga of the whenua recognised. The government at the time had no choice but to accept that request, and in so doing, signed all those lands and responsibilities to the different and various iwi of the land. Subsequent to that, they've seen fit to turn around and start poisoning all our land, which has subsequently led for my whānau and myself not being able to use our resources. We can no longer access kai from the bush. We can no longer access rongoā or medicines from the bush. And probably the most important thing of all is we can no longer drink the water from our bush. And so we, Alan and I, have embarked on this hikoi to show unity between two cultures, which should have been going on since the beginning of our journey together on this land and would have saved a lot of the troubles and hassles that have occurred. And so as Alan pointed out, that the irony of this today being in Blackpool, the birthplace of the Labour Party and rebellion and revolution with the miners' strike, and as Alan has pointed out already, that divided we stand, united we stand, divided we fall, and the cry that's been added to this march being united we stand,
or poisoned we fall.
Poisoned we fall. My auntie, or my whanaunga whina, when she did her march and approached Parliament, her catch cry was, not one more acre. And she was alluding to the fact that they would not take one more acre for their selfish purposes. Today, I add to that call, not one more acre poisoned. Because giving our land back is no use to us when it's totally been poisoned and we can use it, can't use it for anything. So I think that's inspiration enough to get out there and do something.
Now, just to establish for the audience as well, those of you who are unaware or have not studied what 1080 is, you can usually trace things back to an origin point. For instance, if you're the Empire of Japan and you want to invade Chinese Manchuria, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of weapons and troops doing it, you poison their water supply. With what? A new compound you came up with. 1080. Well, what does that do? Well, it causes a whole lot of really horrible diseases and essentially kills everybody downstream when you dump enough in. Okay. But what happens if you put a little bit in? Well, it's an endocrine disruptor in parts per trillion in water. So you can have birth defects and things of that nature coming into your society, all sorts of different things that would affect the body, the lymph nodes, the heart, the nervous system, the brain. Basically, if you wanted to kill everything, dump it in the water. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you want it to suffer horribly in pain while it dies, go ahead, keep doing it, bro. I mean, it's the humane thing to do. You know, if something's a pest, you could just put a label on it. Hey, look, it's a pest. Kind of like how the United States labeled, what was it, all their Japanese citizens, people who were born there, you know, as enemies of the states and put them in concentration camps and took away all of their rights that were guaranteed to them under the Constitution. That's what we're kind of talking about, as far as I'm concerned, when we're talking about 1080 being used, because you're violating the rights of everybody who's downstream and violating the rights of all of the sentient beings that you're killing horrifically with this stuff. Do you know what it's like to watch imagery of a deer who is convulsed so badly that her own stomach is coming out of her mouth when you find the body? That you know, the animals that basically shake so violently that they break their own spines. That kind of trauma going for 20 hours or something like that, ladies and gentlemen. The government says, this is humane. This is safe. This is good. And no, there couldn't possibly be any side effects or consequences to the people. It's, you know, how could there possibly be? You know, I'm sorry if I went off on a little bit of a rant there, but the emotional element that people in this country do not understand is something that I believe needs to be introduced. Science, facts, figures, all of these things drive it. But I think what really drives human responses is our emotional attachment to things. If you love your children, if you love the bush, if you love animals and don't want to see them suffer and die, seeing the reality of what's being done should completely reverse any positive or even slightly positive feelings you have about the use of 1080 in New Zealand. Thank you.
Couldn't have said it better myself, mate. Well done.
I get that a lot.
Great boss.
Okay, so the question is then, you guys have personal experience. Nobody who starts a march or anything like that does so without actually seeing with their own eyes and feeling with their own heart what it is that they're fighting against, true?
That's absolutely correct, yep.
What have you boys seen that drove you to this?
Okay, well, I first got poisoned by 1080 when I was about 18. I lost 2 days of my life, didn't know what happened. My dog was poisoned to death. He was stiff beside me when I woke up. I was very, very sick for probably 2 years. I met my good lady that I've been married to ever since. We lived in a place called Wall's End, which was just down the valley from where we are now. They did a big poison drop on our hill, and that's a greasy back hill. It has a solid rock base. The water pickup for the communities around us, the three communities, is right down the bottom of that hill. So we got dosed really well. We first noticed all the women in the community got really sick with women's problems, as they were described by the doctors. My wife had 15 or 16 years of endometriosis and laparoscopic surgeries to cure this, and excruciating pain all the time. Immediately after this drop, within 2 weeks, for nearly a year and a half, I spent nearly every day absolutely stuffed. I couldn't function as a human being. Massive migraine attacks, and nearly to the point of fitting. Some of them would last up to a week. Sometimes they'd last 2 or 3 hours. They absolutely dropped me within 10 minutes of getting them. I was off to the doctor every week trying to find out what's going on. I told him what I thought it was, and he laughed at me. He said, "Oh, they wouldn't do that to you. It doesn't go on in this country like that, you know." But I know off the effects exactly what it was from my first poisoning. So I've suffered these effects my whole adult life. My wife finally got pregnant. We tried for nearly 11 years, 10 years, to have a child. We didn't ever think we'd have one because of 1080. We finally did, and he was a miracle child and the most important and precious thing to me in life. Even when I'm completely broke, I'm still the richest man in the world because I've got my family. So they have done this to me all my life, and I see all my friends suffering the same effects. The statistics just came out from the health department there a couple of months ago saying that the fertility rate in New Zealand has halved, 50%. Okay, so that's a very innocuous statement by itself. But then you extend that and look into it, and that means allowing for 10% of people that are possibly naturally that way, 40% of New Zealand can no longer have children because of these terrorist scum, you know. That's what I've seen. I've watched animals die everywhere I've gone. They've poisoned my valleys. They've poisoned my water. In 2 nights, from a beautiful loud valley with a beautiful dawn chorus and deer running everywhere I can shoot and pigs and goats, to absolutely nothing. Dead silence. 12 times they've made me move. I got a bus. I moved around the country. They followed me. They poisoned me again. Not a personal conspiracy, just what they were doing, but there was no escape from it.
Everywhere. They're doing it to everyone, everywhere.
Doing it to everyone, mate, absolutely everywhere, right across the country. But the West Coast has had the biggest hammering. Back when they first started, they were using an 80% pure mixture. That was dropping people off all around the country, mate. All these quiet little Maori towns and that, you know, 10, 12 people straight after a drop dead of a heart attack. The health department covers that all up, you know. We've had tourists come to this country. They have been killed by this stuff. They use a gel bait down in Te Anau. It's a 10% toxic, so you just have to touch it to get it to come through and kill you. So a tourist touches this bait, goes to a backpackers in Queenstown, and drops dead of a massive heart attack. So our good old government thought, oh, we better do an autopsy. So they took her heart and they sent it to a lab. Poof, disappeared, just like the medical records. The latest ones in our country, two trampers up in the North Island were found 30 metres apart on a track. They were international climbers. They were used to alpine conditions. The overnight temperature was 8 degrees. The government tried to tell everybody they died of exposure. What a load of crap. They hide everything as it happens. This lady's family from, I think, America are still fighting for justice against our government. The medical officers of health in this country are the overseers of this. They ensure that any incident is quickly pounced upon. They coerced and put pressure on doctors and tell them to report it as a state of general unwellness or a gastro bug. Cheryl Brunton is the medical officer of health for here. She knows they can't test for the fluorocitrates emitted by the 1080 as it breaks down. So they have no way of quantifying the absolute danger to the public. This is why America banned it. The Department of Conservation knows that it has the ability to wipe out entire bird species. They've proven it. We're down to 5% in most areas of what used to be here. It's just corruption and cover-ups. It's all through the government, all the way to the top. We believe it goes, A, to the United Nations, and B, right back to the Americans where this terrible shit come from. They're trying to close down the factory over there now.
And just to quantify that, there is only one factory, ladies and gentlemen, in the world that allows you to do that. There is only one country, ladies and gentlemen, in the world that licenses helicopter outdoor use of this poison. Only one. New Zealand. Because the rest of the world isn't quite as frickin' corrupt as New Zealand. You may find that shocking, folks. But a Scotland Yard corruption investigator, 20 years experience, came here and worked in the Serious Fraud Office. After 1 year, he said, New Zealand is by far, the most corrupt country he's ever worked in. It's unbelievable, folks. It's a freaking scam. Everything is. Who is responsible for dropping the 1080? By chance, is it the Waikato City Councillors who own shares in the 1080 contracting, folks? It's that direct. With one Google search, boom, in a court, ba-boom, it's gone, it's done. These people are in jail, right? Not in New Zealand. You know why? Because there's no records in the court. You don't have to have a public record in New Zealand courts, so you can just strike it out. And if you've got enough money, and more to the point, enough scumbaggery, you can throw a whole bunch of BS at the walls. Oh, it was some kind of slug that came out of here. Now, yeah, so some sort of poisonous slug that we haven't seen in 10,000 years. Yeah, re-emerging, mate. You know, and they will repeat that over and over and over again. And people, in the main, believe it. Primarily because there aren't sufficient alternatives to that lie being published in big enough billboard spaces to say, hey, listen up. When it comes to 1080, everything the government says, not most of it, everything the government says is a lie. Okay, just take it from me. On an assumptive level, okay, just look at that. Anything the government's talking about 1080, it's a lie. You assume that first. Then you go to them, okay, can you produce evidence to substantiate any of these claims that it's so good and so positive, etc.? And they say, why, yes, we can give you this and that and da 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 da. But then you look into each and every one of these examples that they're citing you and find out that there's nothing actually backing it up, that it's a complete fraud. And a cover-up, and a misdirection, and a propaganda technique, and only that. Ergo, the assumption, everything the government tells you about 1080 is a lie. Here are the lies, ladies and gentlemen. It's safe. Mm-mm. It's humane. Mm-mm. It's legal to do it. Mm-mm. And also, there's nothing wrong with using it. Mm-mm. Okay, so basically, somebody's saying, I want to use something that's incredibly dangerous, ridiculously expensive, corrupt, and unjust, that will basically destroy the fabric of anything that it comes into contact with on a molecular level. And I want to put that into people's drinking water. Okay. Second assumption. Other than they lie about everything, they have an agenda behind everything. What ideology wants to exterminate life, prohibit independence and people living off the land and close to nature, and wants to maintain control over a society? Psychopathic government. Basically, you have a look at the very basic characteristics of a psychopath, and you line them up with the 1080 agenda, and you line it up with the government's agenda. It's pretty much the same thing. They lie about everything, they take no responsibility for anything that they do, and they absolutely have no guilt whatsoever. And they will make the most ridiculous, horrific things, and do the most terrible things, and never feel bad about it, ever. Just so long as they keep benefiting from it, and are keeping to be capable of subverting the course of justice through threats, intimidation, defamation campaigns. Basically, all of this catch-all term and phraseology can be summed up with one word: scumbaggery. That's all it is, folks. And they want to kill people. They want to disadvantage them, because people who are dying and sick and can't get out of bed don't pose much of a threat to their agenda for the rest of us. Strangely enough, it all fits in to the nice little psychopathic all-seeing eye Illuminati control grid. If you look at it in the right context, of course. But of course, we're not allowed to know these things, because to know the broader context and where something actually slots into it, you understand that everything's connected. And so are we. All of us are connected. I felt Alan's sickness just then when he was describing that pain that he's in, that exhaustion. I tried to imagine what it felt like to not be able to do anything for a week while you're having the worst headache of your life and can't do shit. I couldn't imagine that pain, ladies and gentlemen, and unless you've been through it, neither can you. However, I understand the very basic principle that nobody should have to go through that. And I understand the very plain and simple truth that it was this government's approval and use of 1080 that caused it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, a bit of a cordial about my side of it. I'm quite glad to be able to say that I haven't lost one of my own mokai, my own pets, personally, so that's a fantastic thing. But I do know the pain and suffering others have had losing theirs. I've seen other creatures dying in the bush. The thing that gets me, the main reason that I'm against 1080 is its operation. It works by blocking the Krebs cycle. The Krebs cycle, during the process of converting the sugars to DNA, in simple terms, gives off energy in that process. And that energy is what makes us talk, walk, move, go, be alive. In Māori, that energy is called Mauri, M-A-U-R-I, life force. 1080 works by blocking or stopping life force. It is an essential and highly important component in Māori culture and values. It is a standalone entity, Māori, because it is sacrosanct with all of us and everything in our whole world and our universe that lives and has life force, including down to rocks and stones and the earth itself. When I go to schools and teach children, as I do as a kaiāwhina, which is a support worker in schools doing bilingual work with te ao Māori or the Māori world and Māori language and culture, custom, I find it so difficult now, after 20 years of watching the spaces being available to utilise for the cultural purposes become less and less and less, to today where there is nowhere that I can think of, unless it's on a private piece of land that hasn't been poisoned, that I can now go and practice my cultural heritage. So supposedly having tino rangatiratanga and my own determination being set to me by the so-called government, they have now effectively cut that off, not only for just me, for all the people in this land, and most importantly, for Ngā Tamariki Mokopuna, for the children and the grandchildren. Because this world isn't ours. We've only got a loan of it to look after for the next generations. So this is the thing that has cut me the deepest, is when my child was born, she was 3 years old. We'd managed to stave off attacks in our community from 1080. In 2002, but they came back when they changed the rules. In 2002, they changed a water catchment, which was defined in the dictionary, to the apex and including all tributaries to the main flow. In the 5 years between 2002 and 2007, the terrorist poisoners lobbied the government, their poisoning assistants, to change the rule on the definition of water catchment, which then brought it down to 1 kilometre by 40 metres. Over the intervening years to today, there's no limit now. They can stick it right in your pipe. and the medical officers of health, the people responsible for caring for us, ensure that it gets in there, because they're the ones that sign it off before it's dropped.
And then the police stand there shoulder to shoulder with those terrorists and ensure their work is done. Their chemical attack on this nation is complete. And dare we try and do anything? We're arrested, stomped on, charged, false charges, whatever they can to put us down. This is why they do it in small communities, because they know there's only ever going to be a lone hippie like me or maybe five people that give enough of a shit about things to get out there and do something. So now we realise we've all got to stand together. This whole country, we'll take them down, no worries, and they are going down. That's how it is.
Now, you mentioned an interesting statistic before about 40% of New Zealand or something like that having their fertility halved, right? Now, fluoride has been put into about 40% of New Zealand cities, technically. Mm. And what's 1080, what's 1080's main compound? It's fluoride.
Yeah.
And what's the worst possible carcinogen and fertility disruptor known to man? Fluoride. And why have we got a 1 in 2 cancer rate and half the fertility right after we put the fluoride in the water? How does this work? It's pretty straightforward when you learn how psychopathic scumbags like the government think, isn't it, bro? Yeah. Doesn't take away the strain and the pain, though. The analogy is they'll push the envelope. They'll see what they can get away with. And then as soon as you rebuff them and you say, aha, no, we caught you, you're trying to do this, they'll go, oh, okay. And they walk away. And then they change the wording on it or something like that, or give it a different title, and then they'll just push it back out again. And then the people who rebuffed it a couple of years back, they'll hear this new title and stuff like that, and they've moved on. They're doing something else or whatever. And before you know it, over time, almost everything that people love in their society gets very, very slowly taken over and destroyed by these scumbags, right? And 1080 is just one example of that. But in either case, if you're dealing with children, right, and you mentioned this work where you're trying to save the planet, not for yourself, not necessarily for the generation that's coming, but for the next generation after that, long-term thinking about what is going to happen to our environment. Now, if that kind of long-term thinking had any bearing on how the government's been running its business in regards to environmentalism in New Zealand, we wouldn't be the second fattest country in the world, pretty much. We wouldn't have the 60% of our rivers and beaches are polluted, so polluted that you can't swim in them. All the rest of them are polluted too, but you can't, but you can technically swim in them. It's just, there's a constant reminder in our daily life for anybody who actually has any contact with nature of how it's being destroyed, not by the people who enjoy it and live in it and love it, but by the governments they elect, right? What kind of responsibility do we have to the future if we are literally putting in power the very people who ensure that there won't be a future? You know, it's something we all got to ask ourselves. Well, I'm sorry, guys.
The only thing that I can add to you, which I hadn't quite finished with that cordial, was when they actually did finally come and poison us, we listened to the pre-drop, the pre-feed, the helicopters. They could hear them whining overhead, and we were near the road and quite a long way from the distance from where they were actually dropping, but we could hear the whining of the helicopter. And just the pre-feeding alone, the noise of the helicopters had already frightened all the birds in the bush, because when you live in the bush like I do, you can hear the change in the volume and the calls of the birds, and that changed dramatically. And then subsequently, when they came and actually poisoned everyone and poisoned everything, that volume of those birds increased dramatically, like they had moved out of the poison area and into the fringes of it, which is where we actually live. And the volume of the birds and the activity increased 4 or 5 times, and you only notice that when you live in it every day and every night. But slowly, over a period of around 6 weeks, that sound died down and died down, and the misery that you could hear, because when you live there, you know what distress calls are from birds, and you hear that slowly dissipating and dying and finishing until around about a 6 week period, it was almost silent. And not only that, where we live, we also had a pair of kea that used to visit to our property. And after that drop, those kea were gone. My daughter had some questions to ask the poisoner that did that to us. He felt so incensed that a child had a mind and had a voice that he almost told me to fuck off. And he was going to leave and wouldn't listen to her. I had to literally force him to accept that my daughter had an opinion and had a view, which tells a lot about him and how he respects children and people. And so he is working to this day, still poisoning people with pleasure. And so this is why we endeavour to stop this. And we're not going to go away from this government until they stop. We will be going there, and we won't leave until they end it.
Interestingly enough, we got contacted by the police this morning. They wish to interview me and Emil today with regards to the contents of the cease and desist orders that we delivered yesterday on video. I asked I said I'd be happy to, so long as we can video record everything. And he you can't do that. We don't want anything going out to the media. I says, well, I'm not giving you an interview without some sort of protection for myself, because I know exactly what you bastards are like, you know. I will video record it or you won't be talking to me. It's that simple. And he goes, oh, me and my boss want to just see where you're coming from and some of the content you had in those orders and blah, blah. And I said, your boss, mate, I rang her 6 months ago in the last chemical attack at Barrytown, and I rang her boss and I rang his boss all the way to the top. I gave them all the details of this terrorist attack on the people. I didn't hear back from a single bloody one of them. It took me to go in 8 weeks later and force the senior sergeant to have an appointment with me. So these buggers are going to try and put us off. The GCSB's fucking with all our posts and whatever. They think they can shut us up. They've got something else coming. The more they try, the harder we're going to go. It's that simple.
At one point, I foolishly described human potential and desire for freedom as a mechanical spring that the government's trying to hold down. But the longer they hold it down, the more harsh that spring wants to bring back up. And I was corrected on this, and he said, no, we're not machines. Here's an organic example, a water spring. What happens when you try to force the water pressure down? It starts to burrow through rock and starts spurting up in places where you've never even seen water come out before. That's what human freedom is. That's why it's so hard to put us down. That's why they have to put so much effort into it along a bunch of different channels. Have you noticed they're all working together?
That's right.
You know? And if they ain't working directly together, they're certainly following the same protocols.
The official information requests that we get back in a week or so are going to be very interesting, I can tell you, because they'll lay out a bit of a map of exactly who's in charge of all this conspiracy. I've been baiting them and setting them up and setting my little rat traps, because I want a predator-free New Zealand this year. And all those predators are the biggest danger to this planet and to this country. I've set my little rat traps. Most of them are full. I've blocked off every exit. We're just going to hammer them harder and harder and harder and put this pressure on. New Zealand is absolutely sick of this. It's not just the 1080 thing. It's every single poison and whatever they've done to us over the last 50 years. And it's got so bad now, we've got the backing of half a country already. This is my first time on Facebook. I've had this open for 3 weeks. Even though they're trying to fuck with my stuff on that, they can't keep us down now. There's enough of New Zealand knows, and this is going to grow organically. And by the time we get to Parliament, they're not going to know what the fuck hit them. We're going to shut this country down, and we're going to shut all them down. That's how it is.
Now, for those of you who are saying, oh, he's using the word terrorist attack and chemical attack and conspiracy and all of that kind of stuff, let's just define what we're talking about. Dictionary meaning of terrorism. A system of government that intimidates and attacks its own citizens in order to force their compliance. Guys, exactly. Would you agree with that definition?
Oh, yes.
And then conspiracy. Two or more people coming together to hurt somebody else or another group of people without them actually knowing it was them. Would you agree with that definition?
Dead right. I have to.
You guys are fighting against a terrorist conspiracy being perpetrated by the elected government.
Hey,
all right. By definition, folks. And it sounds so outrageous, and that's why I laugh, because the alternative is to cry, but primarily because laughter is a hell of a lot better for you than despair. Laugh at these people and their scumbaggery, ladies and gentlemen. Cackle at them, all right? They frickin' deserve it because they're a joke, you know? Oh, I'm so important. I get to have my rules, and you have to follow them. I love having a uniform and power so that the slaves have to do what I tell them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's perhaps going a little bit over the top, but perhaps
it nearly
not.
Sounds like a Maggie Thatcher Dead Kennedy song that I remember.
My mate Ian's been on at me about the Dead Kennedys at every band practice, every weekend, and I still haven't bothered to look into it. I'm such a philistine when it comes to music, I must say.
So, I mean, our message hasn't changed in all the time I've been doing this. I was painting my buses up and doing protests 15 and 20 years ago, and I was calling them terrorists and saboteurs of our economy and traitors and treasonous. They never took me to court once, mate, because they fucking know I'm right. You know, it's they are nothing but dirty terrorists. The Terrorism Suppression Act is supposed to protect us. This is what we're going to try and institute, because under all five of meanings of what a terrorist act is, our government complies with all of those. Okay, a wee while ago, there's the guy that threatened to put pure 1080 into the infant milk powder. Everybody probably remembers that.
I had the cops turn up at my door asking me about that.
And me. And I told one of them, you know we are terrorists is because it's a false flag attack to paint us terrorists and get information off us. But anyway, they spent $3 million. They jumped into action. They roared around the country, as well they should, when we're threatened with a terrorist attack, especially one as despicable as on a milk powder.
Attacking babies.
Kids' milk powder. None of us activists would do that. We give a shit about the place. We're not that sort of people. You know, every single one of us that stand up are decent people. So why can the government get away after labelling this man a terrorist? They can come and drop it straight into that water in massive amounts that we make those babies' bottles up with. Who's the fucking terrorist? That's simple.
It's just like, you can't put 1080 in the baby powder. That's a terrorism thing. But you put it in the entire water supply. All right, we've got different rules for us and different rules for you. All right, that's just how it works. Stop questioning us. Stop using facts. It's annoying.
Wait, deliver the poison. Otherwise, you're doing the rules wrong.
Well, and again, another psychopathic trait. Do they follow their own rules? No. All right, and that's one of the difficulties, actually. As a person with a conscience, I say to the audience that you're not capable of actually understanding this. All right, that's why you get that constant response, guys, don't you, of, no, they wouldn't do that. That can't be true. It's because the people saying that have a conscience still. Somebody with a conscience who hasn't been exposed to pure evil will automatically disbelieve in the symptoms of pure evil being described to them by any institution or person that they have any familiarity with. The police are raping New Zealand girls by the hundreds every week? Nah, that can't be true. The government is politically persecuting activists and causing them to commit suicide? No, that couldn't possibly be true. Right. And that's the basic response that you've got to get over, ladies and gentlemen, is understand that there are people in this world who do not think like you. They don't care about anything but themselves. That is inherently the worst kind of human being. And the reason why these personality disorders develop in a human being is because when they were a child, somebody didn't love them enough. Somebody hurt them too much. Somebody neglected them too much. Somebody sexually abused them. What's happening now in society is essentially an echo of all of the collapse of the family that's been set aside and been happening over the last 100 years, the collapse of community, where once it took a village to raise a child. Oh, you're a single mum, you got to do it on your own. And you think there weren't going to be consequences that reflect across the entire fabric of society when that happens? Nah, mate.
Very careful social engineering. That's what it has been for a long time. And they know what they've done. We've watched our community halls disappear from our communities. You know, we used to know every single person in them, but now people are so self-centered and orientated on that dollar, and the government plays on that, and they've taken all our communities away. Look around New Zealand now, there's fuck all community halls left, you know. There's a tally and fucking all these distractions for people to get wound into.
And a lot of it's been driven by the way that they've broken down workers' abilities to have a longevity in a job, so they're constantly having to shift and move to find another job and another job, and there you get this turnover in our communities now where you don't have a stable population, you don't have stable communities anymore. And so just by that alone, they've destabilised our communities.
Yep, little things like...
All the little things add together.
Oh, I've got a good idea. We can make another few $1 billion a year if we lower the drinking age. Let's let 18-year-olds get on the piss now. Mm. If you're with a parent or a responsible guardian, you can be 16. So they throw all this because they know they're going to make billions of dollars out of the court systems. They're going to create misery and sickness and keep people busy with all that while they get on with their little poisoning agenda. You know, and it's social policies like that that have shaped New Zealand into what it is today. Our wonderful politicians that everyone loves so much and couldn't believe they could be terrorists or plotting against us, you know. We're nutters. Don't listen to them.
Well, another thing would be Winston would actually gain a bit of credit and have some validity to his statement when he stood waving his finger about Syria and Russia using chemical weapons and attacks, when he should look in his own backyard and see that it's happening right here in this land.
Signed off by him.
And he's helping it. So he's got no right to be waving fingers at anybody.
Yeah. But again...
It's Whanaunga as well, actually.
Following your own rules and the principles upon which you say that you follow. Not a symptom of psychopathic frickin' behaviour there. And also they seek positions of power, don't like taking criticism, and get really angry at anybody who pulls them up on stuff and tries to ridicule them and defame them and do anything that they can. Sound like most of the politicians you've ever heard of, ladies and gentlemen? You know?
Yeah.
Somebody who goes back
on one.
Right, and that's again the thing that we've trying to break through to people. I've been doing the show for 10 years, and the whole 10 years I've been trying to tell people this one simple fact. You don't know who these people are. All right? You don't know who they are. Really, you don't. Mm-hmm. I had somebody say, oh, Jacinta's out there. It's a lovely person. I had dinner with her once. Once. You had dinner with her once. Mm-hmm. How many people do you know everything about based upon a short interaction like that? Nobody. So stop filling your head full of these conflated familiarity segments that we've got. Oh, I know cops, they're good cops and stuff like that. Oh, no, I know a politician who said he would do something and then he did that one thing, you know? Just because somebody is, like, just because a clock is right twice a day doesn't mean it ain't broke.
Because you're right. I met Jacinta up at Black Bull, and I stepped in front of her, and I said, g'day, my name's Alan Gurdon, and I'm tired of being poisoned and tortured by your 1080. I want to know, if you get into Parliament, what are you going to do about it? Oh, I'd like to talk with you about that, Alan. Can we talk inside? So we did. I had a nearly 10-minute conversation with her. I made her look me in the eye. I stood a foot away from her, and I said my piece. It all came out lovely and fluently, and no disrespect to her. I shook her hand when I finished, and I said, I'll see you in 6 months or something. We're walking all the way. I want you to guarantee me an audience with the politicians so we can present the truth to them. She said, you make the effort, I'll make sure that it happens. So I've issued her an ultimatum after she decided to give another $80 million to these terrorist scum to poison us and our children. I issued her ultimatum early. We are giving them an education early off our Facebook page. We're asking for an instant moratorium. She has 2 days left. We gave her 7. That's plenty of time. It's given her an escape. It's given her time to go away and have her baby, another beautiful child. Maybe then she can look into her eyes and see what she wants to do, which move she wants to make. But I realise politicians are dirty, lying bastards, so I never really expected her to stick to a promise. She's just like every other one of them. She has 2 days left to make this instant moratorium on the use of 1080, or she will be in the same boat as every other dirty, scummy terrorist that poisons our children. We will spare them no quarter. They're not getting any excuses or getting to hide in a corner from the Terrorism Suppression Act. We'll use the Magna Carta and we'll use people power, and every single one of these dirty, lying terrorist scumbags will go to prison. It's just that simple.
One can only hope, however, the original intended purpose of the Terrorism Suppression Act is to give the government, the terrorists, the ability to suppress anybody who stood against them. So that's why they called it the Terrorism Suppression Act, because we're now going to pass a law enabling us to suppress you with our terrorism. double speak. I love it.
See, they forget the Magna Carta, don't they? Funnily enough, the date I leave is the 803rd anniversary of the signing of the Magna Carta. Didn't realise that significance. Our plans have been organic, and I moved my day one day to accommodate some people that wished to film our leaving. And here we are, 803 years later, on June the 15th, when I leave. A very significant anniversary. Those laws can never be taken away from us. Very few people realise that. Okay, nothing can be put to stop those still being in existence. So whether our Queen's going to listen when we do our affidavits, when we force the collapse of the government, they'll have 40 days to rectify the problems as we see it in this country. We'll put another affidavit in after that 40 days, and me and Emil will enter a state of lawful rebellion against our government. We will ensure those laws of the Magna Carta are available to us and the protections provided under them. They can't take those away. And New Zealand's going to stand right behind us, and they're going to make sure that happens. And if all that does fail, we have other backup plans.
So let me get this straight. You guys living in a place known for revolution in New Zealand, and you're incidentally doing an event precisely on the same date that people were given God-enabled rights by the Crown, etc., like that. And you're fighting a war against the Crown to try and get those rights actually substituted. And in order to do so, you have to commit a revolution. There's an old saying, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the universe just parts the curtains for you and things start to line up in a synchronistic fashion.
And it surely has, my friend. Yeah. We have been blown away and we have been humbled by what has happened. And they're going down, mate, no doubt about it.
Long fights, though. I've seen this one with a lot of activists, you know, interviewed, you know, 1,000-odd activists over the years. And what I find disheartening, whilst at the same time inspiring, is that they've always got a very, very long story to tell of resisting, 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 resisting. You just can't keep them down, right? So at the same time as that sort of inspires me to keep resisting, 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 as I do, I feel somewhat disheartened of the fact that they have to, you know? Like the old Greek saying is that your goal in life, metaphorically speaking, is to plant a tree whose shade you shall never get to sit beneath. Now, what that means is that the purpose of your life is to make future generations' life more comfortable than your own. If you're not doing that, you're not fulfilling your purpose in life. Your life has no purpose but for that of tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's how important it is that we do stuff today for a better tomorrow, because it won't come again. This minute that we were just speaking, that's not going to come back. There's only one moment that exists, and it's the eternal right now that we're continually experiencing. And the only way to make the universe do anything is in the moment.
Yep.
The last question I've got on this 1080 issue is, although you're going through this process, how do you keep yourself motivated?
Just
pretty easy.
Look into your kid's eyes, mate.
Mm.
That boy out there in his little batch out the back of my house, he's the most precious thing to me in my life. I know what I've been through. They can't hurt me anymore. I'm not fucking scared of them anymore, mate. I used to be. I'm not now. And my blind ambition in life is to make sure he's got a future, make sure he can still have children and they can have a future. You know, I'm not a selfish person. I hate money. I hate the system. And as soon as this is over, I'm going to get my cell phone and smash it into tiny little pieces and throw it in the rubbish tin. I just want my life back, and I want everybody else to have the same in this country. We're all one people, apart from those terrorist scum. We know where they're going. We want to set this country back on the right feet, have the right guardians and protections in place so that no bloody filthy government can do this to our beautiful country and our beautiful children ever again. That's what keeps me going. And the more they lean on me, the faster I want to walk and the bigger noise I want to make. Not going to shut me up, mate, and we say put a fucking bullet in my head. That's how it is.
And what about you, bro?
Well, the inspiration for me comes from the fact that my whanaunga, Fina Cooper, did this same type of thing to bring awareness and to bring change. And she was 80 years old when she started her walk. I'm only 52. So she gave the inspiration to do it and do the action. And the same as when I look at my daughter and think of her future and think of what she's had to miss out on because I've not been able to take her into the bush anymore and teach her any more stuff there. All of it's only words and things that she can't practice anymore. So I can't take her and show all those finer things that she could have learned that I got shown from my father. And so that breaks down that process. And all the tamariki that I go and share, waiata and karakia, which are prayers and things which all relate to the earth and all relate to the environment, they seem to be just empty and hollow now, whereas before they had life and meaning and connection. And so that separation and that slow killing off of that spiritual connection to the viability of our environment is being killed and suppressed and so bad now that it hurts every single day when you wake up and get out of bed and just want it to end. And so that is enough to say enough's enough. Get up, get out there and get it stopped.
Yeah, indeed. Yes. And what's your guys' website there, Alan?
Sorry?
Have you guys got like a website or Facebook page or something like that people can get more info?
We've got a Facebook page. It's called Hikoi of a Poisoned Nation. Hikoi is spelled H-I-K-O-I of a Poisoned Nation. We have interference running on it from the GCSB. They're stopping people commenting and things, but as far as I'm aware, you can still see everything on there. People are screenshotting it and passing it around. We've got the letters I've sent to Jacinda, the ultimatums, the letters I'm posting or notices I've been posting in town to the terrorist organisations. We're trying to encourage everybody to get the word out there by going into their town and giving their doc office the same
notifications. We're
going to
be uploading a template of the same letters, and we really want everybody throughout the country to ensure they go to their local offices of DOC, Regional Council, Council, TB Free, Osprey, MOH, all the different ones, and do exactly the same as we're doing, because if every single entity in this land is served by the people, they can't turn away and say it didn't happen and can't turn around and say we're not going to do anything.
If I had just sent them a letter, it would have got thrown in the bin like the 3,000 other I've written in my lifetime trying to stop this shit, you know. It's just about people getting out there and uniting and getting together. We can beat them. The people do have the power. They've just got to realise that.
Yeah, they're our employees, those people up there in that parliament. They're not the bosses.
They'll soon be our prisoners.
One can only hope. Thank you, boys, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Please share this little video around and get onto that Vinny Eastwood Patreon page and give us a dollar a month, or sign up to the Kiwi Bank, a little account there with an automatic payment of a dollar a week, or whatever it is, because for the last 10 years, helping the people who the media and the government want, then I've been here for them. And ladies and gentlemen, you've always been there for me to pay my bills and things of that nature, so I can keep doing what is right and letting the truth be heard. Check you later at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasted live on American Freedom Radio for the benefit of those intelligence agents who prefer to enjoy their job, you know, like, oh yeah, I know, we have to surveil everybody and we have to look at all the published available media to make sure nobody's speaking bad about us and what have you. But at least while you're doing that job, while you listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show, you should at least be enjoying yourself, Mr. Agent. Just enjoy it, you know? Maybe right. Save us for last. The last ones to be censored will be the ones that entertain the sixth sense of humoured intelligence agents the most. One can only hope. But anyway, my very special guest joining me again in the second hour, we've got Alan and Emil joining us still from old Blackball. Now, over the break, ladies and gentlemen, a hell of a lot of real crazy things have happened, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to get a wee bit of a breakdown on that. Alan, Emil, welcome back.
Kia ora mai anō. Thanks, Vince.
Yep.
So what's been happening?
Well, the usual pressures that you'd expect when you speak out. Government trying to squash us. After we were talking the other day, the police rang and requested an interview in at station with me and Emil. And we said we would agree to that so long as we could video everything. He choked on that. He said, oh, no, we can't do that. The district commander doesn't want any publicity getting out there. I says, well, no interview then. It's that simple. We've learned to protect ourselves with video or audio. And he goes, oh, well, maybe audio will be all right. I says, well, if it's not, no interview. So they agreed to that, and he texts me back with a meet at 4 o'clock. So we've got audio footage of that, and we've put that up on site. The Graph boys have put that on TV Wild. Pretty much they just on tape, even though they knew they were being taped, they conspired to pervert the course of justice. They put pressure on us and tried to blackmail us, threatened us with arrest for delivering that notice, cease and desist order to the Department of Conservation and the Regional Council. They spent 2 hours out at the Regional Council going through that letter to pull out one small sentence, which was actually a piece taken from the Terrorism Suppression Act that says everybody has not only the right but the duty to ensure a terrorist activity doesn't occur on New Zealand soil. They have the right to stop it by any means necessary, including lethal force. That had a comma after it, and I said, however, we wish to provide New Zealand with a peaceful, 100% peaceful solution to this. So they've taken this little sentence out of context, called us terrorists, and then proceeded to try and put the thumbscrews on us. I said to Emil before we went in, I know exactly what these bastards are up to, so let's get right up them. So we bloody did. We got right up them, tag-teamed them. And as usual, they would not answer that question, what is the difference between a man that threatens to put 1080 in the milk powder and a government that actually stands by and provides private militia and security forces in the way of the New Zealand police, taxpayer-funded, to ensure that these chemical attacks on New Zealand does happen, without a doubt, and they are.
And guaranteeing it gets put in the water too.
So, yet again, oh, come on, boys, we're going around in circles here. We actually want to talk about this. So we let him have his say, this policeman that had come down, especially from Wellington, to sort us out. Absolute moron, mate, because he just carried on tape and said it all for me. So we taped it. We've put it out there to New Zealand. We're going to put it out even wider soon. So anyway, we got a trespass order, an unlawful one. I got mine delivered at 5 to 11 at night. I questioned the legality of them turning up to my house at that time. I questioned the legality of the order they were giving me and questioned the lawfulness of their actions because they're acting unlawfully. They wouldn't answer me as to what the legality of this was. So I said, well, you've served it now, you can piss off. So I jumped online and I had a look at the trespass laws, discovered that theirs were totally fake, and discovered also I can give them a reverse one by taking away their implied right to visit my property unless they had a search warrant under the Misuse of Drugs Act or Firearms Act or person evading lawful custody. So they got served that the other day. So we've been round, served all the docs, we've videoed everyone nice and politely, done what we wanted to do, give them the cease and desist orders. We went into the police station the other day to serve them a slightly different order, and I worded that really carefully and put all the way through it, 100% peaceful, 100% peaceful, so they can't pull anything out and accuse me of anything else. In that letter, I asked them to leave their uniforms at the door nicely folded so that we could find decent people that will actually do their job. I asked them to leave their cars there and vacate the building because it's taxpayer funded, and if they wanted to be a militia, that they could go to dock and get a job there or something. They'll ignore that, of course. They'll try and find another way to put the clampers on us. So as I'm signing this order in front of the policeman at the desk, because Mal, corrupt, soon to be unemployed, Aiken, the area commander, was too scared to come out, I had to serve it to another constable. I made him shake my hand and acknowledge on TV that I had not been threatening in any way. He signed the thing, and then he pulls out a big fat wad of trespass orders for us. 10 each we got. I think it was 10, maybe 11. Every dock office on the West Coast. So I don't know what they're hoping to achieve, because we've been networking and everybody's taking up our actions. We're putting the templates on our site. People are downloading them. And I said to the police that we're not going to go and do any more of those orders because we've done ours. We've done videos to show people how to do it, and we're providing them with the information online to go and do it. So now the rest of New Zealand is going to serve every one of them bloody terrorist bastards their notice. So that's all happening. The police can't really put any more pressure on us. Last night I'm sitting there and somebody gave me a link to a video which just confirmed all my suspicions about my conspiracy theories and cemented all my thoughts in concrete. This is another lady from...
She was in Paris, I think.
A complete different side of the world that's found the same scam, and she's traced it all back to the United Nations and the Americans, the fact that they've got secret labs here that are doing this chemical warfare experiments with weaponized chemical weapons on the people of New Zealand, and they've been doing it for 20 or 30 years. So this lady's really onto it. She's onto the legal side. She's issued court proceedings. She has served Jacinda Ardern and... James Shaw, yesterday, I think about lunchtime.
Judicial review, I think it is.
Yeah, last night on the news, Jacinda Ardern sitting there, not smiling for once, surprisingly, and telling everybody about this bovine mycoplasma bovis thing that they've got going.
Something that probably doesn't even exist and is just being used as a pretext to get farmers off the land and to kill off all of their stock so that they can't compete with the enormous corporate conglomerates that are coming in and taking over the rural areas and destroying the New Zealand farming communities. Just taking a stab in the dark, of course. Now, I just wanted to explain a few things to people about the term conspiracy theory and terrorism, because this is essentially what we're talking about here. But while I'm doing that, I think maybe you might have a web browser open or something, Alan. Just close off any Facebook or anything else that you've got open there that might be pulling the juice, because there's a tiny little flick in your signal every now and again. It's negligible, but... terrorism, ladies and gentlemen, it's a system of government, this is in the dictionary, that terrorizes and intimidates its citizens into doing what it tells you. Now, Would you by chance feel a little bit terrorised and intimidated if somebody came up to your house at 10:55 in the middle of the night to serve you with something? Dum, 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 dum. Those knocks on the door. Instantly, your heart starts beating faster and you automatically go into fight or flight response. Right? And that's terrorism, ladies and gentlemen. That's intimidating. Conspiracy, on the other hand, is two or more people coming together to cause harm on another group of people without that group of people knowing it was you. All right? So when we talk about terrorism, we are talking about a system of government, and we talk about conspiracy, we're talking about interagency cooperation in order to harm the people of New Zealand. That is precisely what the 1080 crisis in New Zealand really is caused and funded by, essentially, terrorist conspiracy. Now, they try to mix that around, of course, because what we're dealing with here is essentially psychopaths. Psychopaths will do the exact opposite of everything a moral person would do. For example, does a psychopath admit that they've done something wrong? No, they don't. Does a psychopath give you a fair chance to hear yourself out and seek others and communicate and things like that? No, they don't. So it looked to me as though you guys were being treated like prey, essentially. Think about it. You're gazelles on the Serengeti, and the police are these lions, all right? And essentially what they've done is they've checked out, there's those two naughty little gazelles. Why don't we get them separated from the rest of the herd a little bit? Why don't we corral them into a different area so that we can jump on them and bite their throats out? You know, like, that's basically what I saw when you were telling me that story. Is essentially they're acting in a predatory nature. They're attempting to isolate the prey so that the prey can't get away. That's what they're trying to do to you by saying, oh, you trespass from this dock notice. You're doing me. Because then, if you're unable to go and meet with these people on these different dock sites personally, they don't have a communicative relationship with you, all right? Now, what happens after people don't have any communications, all right? Invasion, tenderly. It's a war tactic, actually, to cut communications off so that nobody knows what the hell is going on, so you can coordinate your attacks, but your enemy, in this case the people, can't coordinate their defense. But in either case, that was just how I was looking at it, and may or may not be entirely accurate. Sorry, Alan. But in either case,
pretty good. Let me.
Well, thank you. I get that
you're
a lot.
You're back on
that. One more question then. I mean, you had a physical reaction to this. I assume 10:55 at night, somebody knocking on the door. That's an instant heart response, right?
I knew it was the pigs. I stuck my foot in the door, wouldn't let them in. I says, you're going to have to wait a minute while I get my video sorted because I'll be recording everything. So I shut the door in their face, got my recorder on, then I opened it again with my foot behind it so they couldn't kick their way in because I didn't know if there's any more of them out there. Funny as, they wouldn't even give me their name and badge number for a start, but I made them do that before I carried on. Once they'd served me, told them to piss off. The funny thing is, we've had a media blackout, not only in this country from the media, enforced by the government, but also our other attempts to reach places like CNN, Al Jazeera, ABC News, and many others have all had no response. That's how big the thumbscrews are and how far they reach. And because everything goes through the Waihopi spy base in Blenheim, any communication going outside the country gets fucked with. You know how it is. So anyway, the next day, Mel Aiken thought she'd break this media blackout by trying to discredit us. So she sent a statement out to the press pretty much calling us terrorists. And that backfired on her in a big way. So I had to write her a bit of a comment on a Facebook page and thank her very much, because overnight we had 16,000 visitors to my personal page and the other page off one comment that I told people what the police were up to. And so that had that effect. But not only that, it got it out into the media in New Zealand. And so they were trying to paint us like terrorists. They didn't get our side of the view, as usual, and printed their own bullshit. Slanderous, absolute slanderous crap, saying that we accepted responsibility for doing wheel nuts on dock vehicles and assaulting them and threatening them and all this shit. I'm 100% peaceful, mate. So is Emil. We have been all our lives. So we knew there's nothing to worry about. We had a pretty good reach out there already. So we just carried on and people could see our point of view. Once we put the audio of the police interview up, things just went crazy, mate. And now everybody's seeing what they're trying to do. So I had to thank Mel for all that. She's probably going to get the DCM if she hasn't already had it, the Don't Come Monday. Because in one little statement to the press, she just completely stuffed them up, and that's got the word out. Now if this other lady, Miriam, jumping online with her video, she's known about this for quite a long time, obviously, and she's been working really hard. She's got the judicial review and everything sorted out. There's like pages and pages of information. We know the Prime Minister has been served. She's too bloody gutless to tell the rest of the country. And this is the end for them, mate. They're going down. And I'm fucking proud to be part of it. And we're just going to spit this stuff out and get it out there. We've got less than 2 weeks before we depart on our march. We've already got half the country behind us. When the farmers see what this lady's got to say on video, they're going to shit their pants. Now, the government's running around at the moment, putting the clampers on the farmers, threatening to give them no compensation if they don't sign a privacy statement to get their payout. So this is the theory about Fonterra. They're going to come in there and they're going to buy all those farms as part of that payout, and these farmers will be all relieved and they can go away. Fonterra instantly owns all the farms in New Zealand, and then how much money are they going to make out of that? By employing a whole lot of slaves to do that milking and pay them fuck all, keep them on the bones of their ass, and there's their industry secured. I'll just hold up a bit of a newspaper clipping about what's going on the coast as far as Fonterra go at the moment. Where's that?
Well, isn't that interesting? The exact thing that I completely assumed with no evidence is precisely the exact same thing that they're doing.
Funny that. Look at this. Milk war looms on coast. There's the start of it. Getting in their hands and their hooks into all the other farmers. Yeah. Just like that. So all the conspiracy theories, all the people who have been laughing at me for 20 years, all they need to do is have a look on my bus that I had 15 years ago outside the regional council. It's on my page. What does it say on the side of it? I call them terrorists. I call them treasonous. I call them saboteurs of our economy. And here we are 15 years later. Someone from the other side of the world I've never, ever met has got exactly the same theory as I had. And now the two theories have come together. It's just 100% concrete proof.
Well, indeed, the origin of this theory was in 1992, actually, during the Rio Earth Summit, where Jim Bolger signed New Zealand up on Prince Charles's private yacht, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, to an international agreement called Agenda 21. Now, what's Agenda 21? It's a codex for everything, okay, for all human activity, all human life, all the hospitals, all the farms, all the roading, all the medicines, all the communications, everything that could ever be built in an industrialized society was meant to be controlled from that point forth. Now, if anybody had actually looked at Agenda 21 and then had a look at the Agenda 21 official website, by the way, the environment policy of the Greens, New Zealand First, National and Labour are identical word for word copies from sections out of Agenda 21, all right? The idea is, overall, force human beings off the land, take away your freedom, take away your privacy, get you into tiny little mega cities where you're going to be very sick, have no privacy, live in tiny little rabbit hutch-like apartments alongside railway tracks, and you will be very, very, very lucky if you're allowed to have a vehicle at all of your own. And you won't be able to go into unauthorized zones anymore. No. They're going to start closing up all the motorway off-ramps to all of the rural areas, and they're going to collect massive amounts of that material to build new mega highways in between the mega cities. And you won't be allowed off those mega highways or out of those mega cities. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, a total control grid for the whole future of the human race, and they're doing it globally. That's why you see the exact same things happening, almost word for word, almost play by play, in virtually every single country on Earth, because they've all signed up to this stuff, and they've been advancing and socially engineering society to accept it. Have you seen a movie, ladies and gentlemen, lately that has some kind of sci-fi broad context where there's a future with no freedom, where everybody's locked into a huge city or something like that, and there's deprivation all over the place? It's called predictive programming. They're preparing you for this, ladies and gentlemen, so that once it starts to rear its ugly head and you start to realize that the conspiracy theorists have been right all the time and, oh my God, there's something to panic about now, you won't panic. You'll just fucking sit back and accept it. No! Let's not do that, folks. How about we do the one thing that was supposed to be the initial segment of the United States Constitution that, what was his name, Jefferson said, that the only way that a democracy can work, the only way, is with an informed population. Okay, do we have one currently, folks? No, we don't, because the authorities control the distribution of the information, and they black out what they don't want people to know that could challenge their agenda, and they hype up out of control things that don't frickin' matter to distract you from the stuff that they're trying to make you ignore. Okay? In a nutshell, that's essentially how it works. So when people are protesting against these kind of things, ladies and gentlemen, imagine for a moment that every single conceivable avenue that you could think of when you say to them, oh, but why don't you do this to resist it, or why don't you do that to resist it? They've already tried, folks. They've already tried. When people are protesting against something as evil as this, it's because they don't have any other choice, coupled with the fact that they have a moral obligation, which again equals to not having a choice. You must do it because it is the right thing to do. And supporting these gentlemen in their quest, this big hecoy against 1080 to inform the public who've been continuously misinformed throughout decades of its use, this is an important stepping stone, ladies and gentlemen, to a freer society, a healthier society, a better world for tomorrow, not this dark future that these scumbags have planned. Or at least that's my take on it.
Pretty damn right again there, Vince. No, you're on a winner.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, yes. You've been doing it for quite some time, eh?
Yeah.
A long time, yep.
I'll just point out something there too, Vincent, that you were mentioning the worldwide movement towards this from the authorities. I'd also like to point out that there's a growing worldwide resistance from the indigenous peoples. I've been in contact with a group from Poison Free Hawaii who are growing and resisting. I've also been in contact with some groups in Northern Canada First Nation who are also rising up against poisoning and contamination of their lands. So there's going to be a very big movement against this from Indigenous cultures and the rest of society who are waking up to what's going on. But it is beginning now.
Yep. So getting back to the United Nations side of this, every country in the United Nations had to sign the rights away so that they could come in and do these contrails. Okay. So this is the other level of this conspiracy. So you get a population finally antibiotic resistant and can't heal themselves, okay? How many people do you know around New Zealand that have got a pneumonia-like symptoms that haven't been in contact with sick people, okay? In these heavy metal elements and all these other things are dropping in the sky in these contrails, every single country, the contrails have blood spore and everything else in them. So that's making people sick. They're resistant to antibiotics. My own brother nearly died from one of these. I've had a couple of them and managed to recover. I know a lot of other people that have got really bloody sick. You know, quite a few of my family members are really sick at the moment. And these diseases are nasty, these pneumonias. They'll drop your ass in a day. My brother was in a coma, nearly died from it. He's got permanent effects now, can't handle the cold, has to wear a scarf. It weakens you. It drops your ass, you know. This United Nations scam, that's where it goes back to, and it goes further than that back to America. We've got secret labs in New Zealand that are testing weapons-grade chemical weapons of mass destruction, and they're analysing these effects. New Zealand's key players in cleansing any incidents of 1080 poisoning, Cheryl Brunton and Dr. Alistair Humphreys, and the land care scientist Charles Eason, have been colluding and conspiring in this right from the start. They instantly jump on any incidents. They lean on doctors and make them say it's a gastro thing. They can't get the word out. Hundreds, thousands of cases, and they've lent on every single doctor. We've got a good doctor in New Zealand at the moment, Dr. Charlie Baycroft, that's trying to get this out to people and get them tested. He is threatened with court action and a $10,000 fine for having an opinion while he's not a registered medical practitioner. That's tantamount to a squashing of the right to freedom of speech for a start, you know. And this is all instigated by a Ministry of Health that's supposed to care for the fucking people, for God's sake. They don't care. The only thing they care about is their own agenda and covering up any chance of this getting out, which is why we decided to use Facebook. We know how bloody corrupt this media is in New Zealand. Mark Zuckerberg, as I said a few weeks ago, is my new bloody hero, mate. This is out there. They're not going to take it away now. They're fucking going down, buddy. And we're all proud to be part of that, and we need to stand together and stand firm as a country now. You know, we need people behind us to prove what we're saying. And Miriam coming up with this video and everything now is just going to cement that. There's going to be every single farmer in New Zealand is going to be bloody outraged about this, mate. Mm. You know, it's going to be, my God, I just can't explain the effects it's going to have on this country. By the end of the week, our whole entire economy is going to fucking collapse. Winston's known this for a lot of years, mate. He's probably known it for 20 years. And when he first got voted into Parliament with this coalition, with the smiling Jacinda Ardern, the dirty terrorist cow, he said, you can't blame us for what's going to happen, New Zealand. Your previous governments have made this happen. We are just going to have to clean up the mess. Now, he knew what was coming. He knew all this plan, and he sat back, and I have to give him the big thumbs up for the best game of poker a man could play. He's played his cards beautifully. He sat back and watched this big, smiling, naive idiot, Jacinda Ardern, throw herself off the cliff. He knew that was going to happen, and he's just sitting back there waiting. And now it's time for Winnie to step up, the first Maori president, Prime Minister of New Zealand. Just like that. He knew this was going to happen. He's a very clever man. That's why he's still in politics. Good on him, but now it's his turn. A complete moratorium on the use of 1080 today, well, we're going to have his head on the block as well. We're getting this out there. Everybody's got to do the same. Share it, like it, spread it round, give it to a farmer. You know, how many livelihoods as well as lives have these people fucked up? Are we going to let them carry on? Are we going to make a bloody stand and get something done about it?
Well, you make me think back. I was just watching a thing yesterday on St. Louis, and there was a block of rental units, I think, like that, that were rented out mostly for, like, in projects, you know, like black populations and things like that. And the US military, using top secret technology, experimented on those big blocks of tens of thousands of people using nerve agents and radiological agents and biological agents and things of this nature, just to test their weapons. Now, it took about maybe 40 to 50 years after the fact, after one woman, sent approximately 150 official information requests to the United States government in order to get the fact declassified that not only, yes, were we experimenting on our own people, yes, we were threatening and intimidating any doctor who found out that there was something screwy going on and threatened them with fines and threatened to take away their license. Yes, we did threaten every single media outlet that tried to report on it. Yes, we did try to subvert every single official request for information for as long as we possibly could. And yes, we experimented on people for decades without their knowledge, having huge effects on them, and we managed to keep it secret through threats and intimidation and deception. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just figured out what the scam is behind 1080. You're being experimented on. How does it feel like to be a lab rat?
New Zealand is just the ideal place for this, mate. It's got a border. It's an island, you know. We get the first of everything. We get the FPOS cards before the rest of the world see how this cashless society is going to go down, you know.
And they had two goes at that.
They had two goes at it. So everything is just, we're just the perfect bunch of lab rats, you know. And I've known that for a lot of years, and a good many people in the world and New Zealand have known that. And now people are going to stop calling us conspiracy theorists, and they're going to go, oh, my fucking God, that hippie was right, you know. There's plenty of me around. Now that we're all getting together nationally and organising it, we've got so much bloody evidence, they're going to be buried. So this lady, Miriam, because she's taking everything to court and that, she doesn't want to appear on your show or anything. I asked her about approaching you because she needs to keep it, her evidence out, or it'll be dismissed in court, okay? So she's asked me to spread the word, get it around there. You can use anything of the information that's on our page or that, but I think it's best if we keep all the other stuff out of the media so it doesn't get thrown out of court, because you know how corrupt the courts are anyway. One little excuse and they're in there. It's not going to stop what's happening in New Zealand, and that's why we're marching to Parliament, mate, because once we get there, we're digging our heels in. They ain't got a choice, you know. The only reason the New Zealand government hasn't used the vast army to do this stuff is once they use the army to spread 1080, we can pick up a fucking gun and blow their heads off. And that's what we all feel like doing. Even though I'm a pacifist, look at the damage they've done. If the army was in here 10 years ago, there would have been a fucking civil war in New Zealand. It's that simple.
It is.
You know, if they bring the army in now, that's what's going to happen, and I hope they bloody don't.
They won't do it.
I hope Winston's got the good sense to keep it peaceful, find a resolution, and we need a constitution in this country. We're not the only ones that need protecting. It's not just the citizens. It's everything that has the Maori aura in it, including the land. And the land, being the most valuable, has to have the best, safest, most enforceable safeguards to protect it. And that's what we're here to do. Take our fucking country back. Take that guardianship back. Take our children's futures back, you know. Go home and look into the eyes of your children and tell me you wouldn't want that for them. Unless you're a fucking moron. Hey, it's...
And the value that we're placing on the land, mentioning there, is not dollars.
No.
It's the value to our future of our lives.
That's
because
right.
of the provisions that it will give us with food and medicine and resources.
Now, it's going to be 10 years before we can use this shit again. That's the life cycle of 1080. But the effects of what they've done are going to be going on for another 50 years. This whole generation, our beautiful children, are going to grow up fucking sterile and resistant to antibiotics. They're not getting shit dropped on them from the sky anymore, because once we sort this shit out, New Zealand's out of that bloody United Nations shit. Fonterra can fuck off out of New Zealand. Monsanto, all these other bastards with their test labs, they're out of here, mate. They're going to have no choice. If they don't do this, New Zealand's going to do it for them. You know, we've been doing the police's job for 30 bloody years. We'll do the fucking government's job as well. We're going to clean this country out, all of us together. United we stand, or poisoned we fall. It's that bloody simple, Vince.
I think so, but the other element is, if you'd been doing the police's job for 40 years, how many people have you been threatening and intimidating and charging unseen taxes and stuff like that? You haven't been doing their job, right? In fact, here's the problem. The people have no idea that the jobs of the people that are in charge are the exact opposite of what they tell you they are, okay? Prime Minister's job. Oh, what's your job then? Oh, I'm supposed to lead the country. Really? Into what? A quicksand? Oh, police, what's your job? Oh, well, it's our job to protect the people and from violence and harassment and everything. But aren't you guys who do the vast majority of the violence and harassment even admittedly that you do it? Yeah. And don't you get away with it 1,000 times forever? There was an interesting statistic that came out in the New Zealand Herald, and it was underreported. You know, like, I report things very differently to the New Zealand Herald. Same statistic, same fact, but we look at it from two different angles. Okay, so here's the statistic. New Zealand police got 1,600 complaints against their officers, okay? Which is actually a downscale from reports in previous years. On top of that, about three of those police officers out of those 1,600 that were accused actually got convicted, and only one of them even got any punishment out of it. Okay, so now that's the statistics. But the way I look at it is, oh, you've got less complaints than last year. I bet you there was a hell of a lot of cops intimidating you into not giving statements, trying to charge us with assaulting you, right? Oh, what's your name? What's your address? You know, that kind of thing. So that's number one. That's the reason why the statistics of reports of assaults by police on people have gone down, because the police don't really want you to report it, and they intimidate you out of it, right? And they're getting better at it. That's what that statistic means to me. Then you go down the scale and you go, how many of these people actually got convicted? What, 3 out of 1,600? That means you have like a 0.001% chance of being convicted in New Zealand for breaking the law if you're a cop. And only one of those three even got any punishment out of it. So it's even one-third of 0.001% chance of actually getting any punishment for you hurting and destroying the lives, in many cases, of innocent New Zealanders who have done nothing to you. What is the police's job, ladies and gentlemen? It is to threaten you, it is to intimidate you, it is to extract revenue from you, and it is to serve the banks who own this country and the organised crime that prevent any real justice from getting served in this country. And I ain't talking about just big gangs and things like that. I'm talking about real organized crime. Do you know what it's like, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to create $1 million out of thin air using a keyboard? How hard do you have to work to pay that motherfucker off? You know, and this is what the banks are doing on a daily basis. Oh, you need $1 million loan for that house? Yep. It'll take you about 70 years, maybe about 400 years to pay off, or you're generationally in debt like it is in Japan. All right, we'll just make it up out of thin air there and just give it to you. But what happens if I can't pay it back? Well, we'll just take the real assets with our imaginary money that paid for. All right, so you've got criminals, ladies and gentlemen, real psychopathic evil people who don't have a soul anymore. They don't care anymore. And they recruit naive, innocent, idiotic people to do their frickin' bidding. They tell you, hey, these guys are crazy, they're terrorists, they're evil, you know, that kind of thing. They tell you exactly what they are. But they tell you that it's somebody else that's doing all these evil, deceptive and violent things. Right? Because an article comes out right after the one I just mentioned saying, oh, assaults on police officers are up, and we think it must be due to the public's lack of respect. And I go, whoa, hold on, back up a track here. Let's just translate that a little bit. Do the cops respect the public? No. Okay, because in New Zealand, when I get lippy to people, I can get assaulted. All right? That's called New Zealand. Especially if you're around drunk people or people who have been taking a lot of frickin' methamphetamine, which if you're in New Zealand, you will. So it's like you're getting assaulted by the people that you don't respect, who you know to be on a whole bunch of things that make people violent. And apparently it's the other people's lack of respect that's causing this assault on the police, right? Right? And then you suddenly get a clearer picture. Oh my God. Not only are the police corrupt, but the newspapers know that they are and deliberately cover up for them. Oh my God. Where do you go for justice? Oh, the Independent Police Conduct Authority. Why is it independent? Who's it staffed by? Well, the police. I mean, we investigated ourselves and we found ourselves guilty of no wrongdoing. That'd be sad if it wasn't so funny. Maybe the other way around. I don't know. But anyway, back on the hikoi thing, I want to actually get out the exact details of this hikoi exactly. Like, what day is it starting? What's your location? How long are you planning on staying there?
Okay, so I'm doing the South Island one, Alan Gurdon. I'm going to Bluff. I'll be down there on the 13th, and I'll either go to Stewart Island or somebody else is going to go and serve the last dock office on Stewart Island, and I'll be starting on the 15th of June on the hikoi. Emil will be starting the North Island one on the 14th as planned. Lots of conflicting reports there, but this is from the horse's mouth, that's when it's happening. It's a jump on a bike, horse, ride your boss, find yourself a spare policeman, put a saddle on him, trot on along, jump on a bus, car, ride a bike, swim, don't care, just bloody get there, stand up for your kids, do your bloody part, you know. We've put our necks on the line because we give a fuck about this country. It's about time everybody else did the same. Share it, spread it around, get it out there to the world. The media here is so corrupt, they won't even play a harmless little video like Poisoning Paradise by the Graff Brothers. If you want some more information on 1080, look up Wild TV by the Graff Brothers. They've been filming the death, doom, destruction and torture of all our animals, birds and everything for years. They've got so much absolute gold footage of what actually goes on in this country. Jump online, check them out, subscribe to their YouTube channel as well. These boys are onto it. TV Wild is the place to go to see the Hikoi page with the other information on that, as well as our Hikoi of a Poison Nation Facebook page. I've been shut down the other day. People that are doing affidavits to support Miriam's case, we're trying to get that out there to New Zealand, do lots of affidavits. There's several people now been doing those online. They've had their entire computer files wiped off and killed the computer by hackers. So do it offline, put it on a disc, don't connect up online.
Do it on paper.
Do it on paper.
Get a pen and paper.
Copy it, share it, hide a copy away, send a copy to a lawyer, whatever. Get this shit out there because they're going to start shutting all this down in their last fleeting moments of panic. I'll give them a week before this entire economy has collapsed and the government's trying to institute a new regime, and that'll be infiltrated by the same fuckers again. So that's why we're still going to Parliament doing this hickory, because we get to set the terms. No other bastard.
Yeah, there's an old saying that how do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it.
That's right. And they're so stupid, they just hand the nails for their coffin to us one after the other. 10 at once the other day, another 10 trespass notices each, you know, every time I put one up of them. There's another 1,000 people that support us. These pigs and these corrupt bloody terrorists are just so incredibly dumb, you wonder how they get up and get dressed in the morning. I can't believe how stupid they are.
I just imagine them getting dressed very recklessly in the morning. Just, you know, have you ever seen somebody who's been performing at the same entertainment level for some time? And after a while of watching them, you start to realise they've become a caricature of themselves, right? And that's precisely what's happened to the authorities trying to cover up the 1080 thing. They've just become a complete and utter joke. And I think one of the other elements of psychopathy that people need to become very well aware of is recklessness. It's not that they're stupid, Alan, sorry to correct you. They've got intelligence, but they just don't care about consequences. And they have a grandiose mentality that actually truly believes that they will never get caught.
Yes, I guess they do. They do feel that they're pretty invincible. They think they've got it sorted, you know, but they don't count on people like me and Emil and a lot of other good people in the country that give a fuck, you know. And the determination after 30 years of fighting this is just so great. I'm really enjoying myself, Vinny. I'm having the best time of my life, and this walk's going to be one of the most amazing adventures. I'm going to get to meet a beautiful part of New Zealand that I didn't think existed anymore. And the support we're having really boosts my faith in people in New Zealand, you know. I lost a lot of faith and thought, you're a bunch of fucking key-tapping morons. You don't want to stand up. What's wrong with you people? But now they're starting to see, and things are falling into place, you know.
They just needed inspiration.
This country is still full of beautiful people, and the rest of the world's about to see that when we all come together at Parliament. You know, I was hoping for 5,000 people there, Vinny. I know we're going to have an excess of 500,000 people there now. This is going to be fucking big, mate. The whole country's coming for these bastards. They're so shocked and horrified. I had people on Facebook last night wanting to vomit and shut it off. They just, this is why I didn't release it all at once, you know, but Miriam's video and things coming along, it just had to be done. They've had a wee taste, they know what's coming, and I've been saying, we're going to put some shit on this thing this week that's going to blow New Zealand's mind. It's going to make you choke and vomit and shit your pants. The ones that are shitting their pants are these bastards that are doing it to us, you know.
they're going down in a big way, and they're starting to realise that now. There's a whole big box full of our lab rats eating each other to death, throwing the weak ones out for the media. You watch all this go down, mate. It's going to be a fucking interesting week, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how long Jacinda can keep a straight face and not say anything.
No comment yet.
Well, I think that if you're very shallow and have superficial charm, you can keep a scam going forever, conceivably. Just pretend that there's nothing there. No, nothing's going on or whatever. Oh, the media's not reporting on Jack of it. Oh, okay. You know, I'm sorry, guys, to be cynical, but that's actually my gig. But the thing is, I've been watching people resisting all sorts of agendas for a very, very long time. And it's not true that inspiration comes from big groups of people standing up against something. The inspiration usually comes from one person standing up by themselves, right? That's where the true source of inspiration is. As the old saying goes, a waterfall comes from but one drop of water.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that New Zealanders need to understand, that they are each individual person a very, very powerful entity that is the centre of a little universe everybody you've ever met, loved, or shared a dream with. They're part of you, and you can inspire anybody else as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's why people are so depressed in this day and age, because they've lost something that people once had, and that thing is purpose. Once you have something to fight for, once you have something to live for, that's where the energy and the inspiration comes from within you. And that is an infectious light, I think. And that's what you guys have been doing, you know, essentially. This hikoi would not be happening without you, not only in a metaphorical sense, but in a literal sense. These things need someone at the centre to take responsibility, to show an example of what a good man does. Because so many bad, evil people we've seen on the TV, in the media, that kind of thing, spreading out BS and nothing of any value. And I think it's because people's voice of reason is not reflected to them by the media. That voices such as yours inspire them so, because they haven't been used to it for quite some time, and so it comes jarring like, BAM! Oh my God, it's truth! It's like, yes! You've had watered down shit this whole time, and now you've got some truth. Wrap your laughing gear around that.
Yeah, so we'll light their spirits is what we'll do.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And that fire will burn brightly.
Yeah.
And what, end the corruption.
What sparked this with me and Emil is we've watched how long we've banged our heads against a brick wall, and now we know there's enough people in this country to make a difference. And I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I can see what a beautiful country this can be again, and I know the people are ready. That's why we're doing it. There's no other way to do it. Every single justice system, policeman, media outlet in this country is under those thumbscrews of those terrorist bastards. So Facebook isn't. That's a good way to get it out, I thought. Let's go. We'll make a cunning little plan, a plan so cunning we can stick a tail on it and call it a weasel or a rat, whatever you like. Off we go, mate, because I can see the light at the end of that tunnel, and now half this bloody country can. So it's happening. It's out there. Stand proud, New Zealand. Get off your ass. Stand up for your children. Rest of the world, get in here and stand up with us. You might need help next week. We'd fucking give it to you.
Something that I've noticed too, Vinny, being a kaiako or teacher in primary schools, is seeing the slow dumbing down of the children through the educational system, and that's basically a brainwashing process which creates the adult, the young adult, and the adults of our society, which have already been switched off during their schooling process. And part of my mahi or my work going into schools and teaching te ao Māori and te reo and tikanga Māori is to open their minds again, to have a free spirit and a free creative flexibility so they can express their own personal gifts that have been given to them, instead of having them suppressed and shut down. Because those gifts, if they're allowed to develop in every single child, are a threat to the people that are in power, because when they grow, and if they're allowed to nurture those gifts that are inherent in them, they will become so powerful that they would bring those people down in an instant, because they would see they're totally corrupt. And being at schools is so inspiring for me, because I get to see the view from an unadulterated mind. When you ask questions of children, they'll tell you straight and often humble you with their answers. So that inspires me every day, keeps me going.
Yep. For anybody that hasn't had enough truth, a very inspiring video I watched was only about 11 or 13 minutes long, and you can find it on the internet. And it's called The Story of Your Enslavement. You'll probably be familiar with that. Vince, you would have seen that a few years ago,
I'd
say.
I've written my own story. You know? Yeah. Anyway, I'm chained to this desk, bro.
Anybody that's got a doubt to what's going on in the big picture, jump on. It'll be the most informative 11 or 13 minutes of video you'll probably ever watch in your life, and it will really open your eyes to the big picture. A lot of people are going to choke on it. I've given it to people before, a link to it and that, and I've gone and seen them a couple of days later. I said, oh, how'd you get on that thing? I turned it off. I've seen it all before. You know, don't want to know. Quick, where's my bucket of sand? Quick. I've got to hide. I can't handle the truth. Well, you've had a good dose of the truth now, New Zealand, and it's only going to get a lot more friggin' uglier than this. Jump on and have a look at that video. Overdose yourself in it. You'll see where we're coming from.
Well, it's the information grenade approach. It's said that if you tell one person something that's very contrary to their very strongly held belief, they'll say, fuck off, you're a conspiracy theorist.
That's right.
And the same thing will happen to you if you just keep telling them the same thing over and over again. However, if a second person at a second different time from a second completely different social circle comes up to them and says the exact same thing, they'll say, fuck off, you're a conspiracy theorist. But by the time the seventh different person from a seventh different social circle at the seventh different time comes up to you to say something exactly the same as those other six people did throughout your life at varying different points along the timeline, you suddenly click, oh my God, there's some truth to this. And people will start questioning their commonly held beliefs. Now, I think the most commonly held belief that is indeed the most damaging is the belief that we are free. That is probably the biggest delusion that we've grown up with. Oh, you're free. You've got choices. Do I now? Stop paying your taxes, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find out very quickly how little choice you've got in the matter. Have you got any justification for that? No. Did I sign anything agreeing to pay all of these taxes? No. But I still have to pay them anyway? Yeah. Because you're threatening me? Yeah. But I'm not a slave, right? No, you're not. You're totally free, bro.
I think I need to look to the Wages Protection Act, Vinny, which gives Wages Protection Act 1983, which gives you the right to write a letter to your employer requesting you're paid your entire wage 100% with no deductions made. You're protected in law and you are entitled to 100% of your money. The reason for this is because the money paid to you when you request it by that manner with a letter to your boss saying you want to be paid under the Wages Protection Act is you will then be paid with money in circulation as opposed to drawn down funds from the IMF. Of course, if you want to be paid with drawn down funds, you're entitled to be paying a share of the interest of that money. Whereas if you request to be paid with circulation funds under the Wages Protection Act, you are no longer subject to interest, so therefore you don't have to pay any tax. Because tax is nothing to do with paying for hospitals and schools and roads. It's to be repaying the interest on the debt of loaned money, which has been done by
that's
the government.
And there's a loophole.
Do it, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a loophole built specifically into the law so that people can do that. But when I say people can do that, what I mean is people who are already in the club, people who already got the bloodline, people who already got the 33rd degree Masonic ring. They can do that. No problem. Okay. Stamp, done. But if you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to start getting pulled over by the cops almost every single time you go driving around. Oh, you're going to start getting visited at your homestead almost every morning when you wake up. You're going to start getting scary phone calls. You're going to start getting threats, intimidation. You're going to get arrested for no reason. You're going to be hog-tied in the Henderson station naked for 2 days without food or water. Are you sure you don't want to pay those taxes, boy? You know? Tell me you're free, folks. Tell me you're free. That there's one law for all and not one law for them and one law for us. Like, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests, Alan and Emil, leading the Hikoi of a Poisoned Nation. United we stand, poisoned we fall. And there'll be links in the description to that, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Bear in mind, this is a listener-supported show on a listener-supported network. If you want to give me a couple of dollars a week, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and sign up through that KiwiBank or the Patreon. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Emil. Thanks, Alan. And we'll see you again sometime, folks.